Good to see everyone this morning. Daryl's our speaker. Good to have him with us, and Karen. Good to see everyone. After this song, we'll stand for opening prayer. Work for the night is coming.
Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming. Fill broad as ours with labor. Rest comes short and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man works no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset skies, while their bright hands are glowing. Work for daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth to shine no more. Work while the night is dark.
We please stand.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come together today so humbly and happy to be able to study your word and sing these songs unto you. God, we are thankful for having Daryl and Karen here today, and we're thankful for the time that Daryl put into the lesson, that we're able to take from his lesson today, continue to grow as Christians, and that we're able to grow and teach others to help continue that your kingdom grow. God, we ask you to be with us through the remainder of our services here today, that we're able to take away and continue to grow as Christians. And all these things we ask you is in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today's scripture reading is going to come from Matthew 15, verses 1 through 3 and 7 through 11. If you're wanting to follow along in the Pew Bible, that's page 1365. 1365. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do the disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" And if we go down to verse 7 here, "You hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines of commandments of men." And he called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defile a man, but which come out of the mouth, this defile a man." Tom?
Invitation song will be 602 in your blue book. Now we'll sing Where the Roses Never Fade. This is in the red book. We don't have them out, but sing along. We'll look up here, I guess. Been a while since we sung.
I am going to a city where the streets with gold are laid, where the tree of life is blooming and the roses never fade. Here they bloom, but for a beauty is decay.
lit up at all. Don't worry about it. Ah, there it is. Well, I think we're all set up now. Good morning to you. Glad to be with you here again this morning. And to all of those who may be watching on the digital network, we are glad to have you with us as well. We would ask and pray that any time the Church of Christ meets here, that you might possibly take the time to come to worship with us here at New Lexington. We're going to take the time this morning to find out what's in your bucket. You know, there's an old saying going around that some people like to use it. They have a bucket list. And there was a movie made of it a few years back about how a couple men went and did several different things that a fellow wanted to do with the rest of his life. So my question is, what's in your bucket? Now, there's an old song that you will tell your age if you know any of the lyrics to this song. The song starts off, "There's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, there's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, a hole. Then fix it, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry, then fix it, dear Henry, fix it. With what should I fix it, dear Liza, with what should I fix it, dear Liza, with what? With a straw, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry, with a straw, dear Henry. Dear Henry, with a straw." And it goes on down and it talks about the ways in which they fixed this. Or she mentions to him about having to fix the hole in the bucket. But when it gets down toward the end, they realize that they need water to make the straw swell up to fix the hole in the bottom of the bucket. And Henry says, "With what shall I get it?" That's the water. "What shall I get it, dear Liza, with what shall I get it? Dear Liza, with what?" And it ends with her reply, "Well, in the bucket, dear Henry, dear Henry, dear Henry. In the bucket, dear Henry, the bucket." And he says to her, "But there's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza. Dear Liza, there's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, a hole." They were just going round and round and round, trying to figure out how to fix that hole in the bucket. Now, they would have never got it fixed. And that would have also meant that there was never anything in that bucket. Never anything in that bucket. Did you ever work around the house and you're building something? And you're holding a nail and you're hitting it with a hammer and you miss the nail and you smash your thumb. Or perhaps you ladies are sewing something and you're trying to put something through material that's a little bit thick, then all of a sudden it jumps through and that needle sticks you right in the finger or right in the thumb. Or you drop something. And in the process of dropping something, you say something. And somebody looks at you and you went, "Oh, I'm sorry. That just slipped out." Well, when you say phrases like that, that it just slipped out. "I don't know what got into me," or "I didn't mean to say that." Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Because it wouldn't have come out unless it was in there. Those thoughts, those intents of the heart, they can't come out unless they're in there. There's a story of a milkman who would go out and milk his cow every morning, and then one day he tripped as he's heading back to the house with the milk for his family. Somebody tell me, what fell out of that bucket? What? Milk. You sure it wasn't water? No, it wasn't water. Wasn't soda pop? No, it was milk, because that's what was in the bucket. You notice there's a picture there beside the one of the fellow milking the cow of a bunch of eggs. Well, that's the story about a young man who was taking care of a farm for a family while they went on vacation. He had several different things he had to do. He had to make sure the cattle were watered and the sheep were watered and they were fed. And you go get the eggs every day and you feed the chickens and you gather the eggs up and you bring them back and you put them in to a room that was off to the side, because this was a farmer that had a repertoire or had a relationship with the neighbors. And they would put the eggs in this room and on a porch. The people would come into this enclosed porch, would put their money in a basket. They'd sign down how many eggs they got. Well, it happened that one day, this young man, working at the Charlie Kemple farm over in Roseville, tripped coming out of the chicken coop. What do you suppose fell out of the bucket that he had, or the basket that he had in? Yeah, eggs. I know, because I'm that guy. I'm the one that tripped and fell. Had about 3 dozen eggs to pay for that day. But the point I want to get across is, in both of those instances, whether it's the bucket with the milk or the basket with the eggs, the only thing that could come out was what was in it. That was the only thing that could come out, that was what was in it. Let's go over to Mark chapter 7 for just a minute. Take a look here at some things that was also Jesus and was dealing with the Jews on their traditions and such like. Beginning here at chapter 7 at verse 1. The Pharisees and the scribes came to him together, having come down from Jerusalem. When they saw some of his disciples eating bread with defiled, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. Any of you ever gone in the house and ate without washing your hands? I have, quite often. Most of the time, mom made me go wash my hands. She'd make sure of it because of cleanliness. Jews didn't do it for cleanliness purposes. They washed their hands for ceremonial purposes so that they could be what they would have thought was clean before the Lord God. 5, and this reading is very similar to the one that we had earlier. The Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Well did the Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men.'" We could go on down. We could look at this entire passage, which goes down through verse 23. But I'm just going to read what verse 23 says. "It is the evil things that come from within that defile a man." It wasn't the fact that the apostles were eating with unwashed hands. Now, that may have not been the best thing to do health-wise. But it was the things that was in on the heart, the things that's inside us that we allow to come out, the things that we have put in. Those things, when they come out, is what defiles the man. Remember? You smash your thumb. You stick yourself with a needle. You drop a maybe a vase or an heirloom that you've had in your family for years, and you say something and you say, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or I don't know where that came from. It came from inside of you because that's what's inside of you. Because that's what's inside of you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The Apostle Paul, as he's writing, he gets to a point and he said, finally. Now, that doesn't mean finally I'm near the end of what I'm saying. Finally, I'm going to get to my point. And there's a point that Paul tells the Philippian brothers, you need to realize. Something you need to dwell on. And that verse goes on, finally, brethren, this is what you think on. This is what you put inside of you. Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. He said, you put these things inside of you. Don't put in the pornography or the smut or the bad music or the nasty jokes. Don't let that be part of what goes inside of you. Paul says, you think on these things, things that are pure. Things that are pure. Things that are lovely. Things that are just. Things that are a good report. Things you wouldn't be afraid to talk about. And if there be any virtue. Virtue, we might use the term moral excellence. The world is not interested in moral excellence. The world is interested in, well, what can I do that entertains me? What can I do that makes me feel good, if not for just a minute or two? But Paul says, no. You find the things that are morally excellent, and you put them inside of you. You put them in you. And if there be any praise, anything that is you can bring up to God in praise, that's what he's talking about. You think on these things. Why? Well, because James says nobody can control the tongue. Nobody can control the tongue. And how many of us have been that way? How many of us? I'm including myself in that statement, and I'm including all of you. At one time or another in our lives, how many of us have been like that? Somebody says something, and what's the easiest thing to do? Act like a snapping turtle. You snap right back at him. Years ago, my wife and I and the kids were coming back from Somerset, coming through that way. There's a snapping turtle in the middle of the road. My boys and daughter were younger, still in the car with us. And I said, all right, guys, watch this. And I got out there, and I got a stick, and I went over in front of that turtle. What's that turtle? First thing it did, snapped right at that stick. I could then take that turtle up, pick it up. I could carry it around wherever I wanted to. It was going to hold on to that stick until I put it back down. Aren't we the same way? Somebody says something to you, you take it the wrong way, or you try to take it differently than they said it. Or perhaps you say something they took the wrong way. And what do? We act like a snapping turtle. We grab a hold of that thing. That's what James says the tongue is. The tongue's like that. You can't tame it. You can't. But the Lord God can. And he can tame it by what you put in. By what you put in is what's going to come out. Jesus said, it's not necessarily what's going in your mouth, that defiles. What comes out of our mouth? What comes out of our mouth is what goes in our ears. What comes out of our mouth is what goes in our eyes. Jesus says it's what coming out of your mouth that defiles. And the tongue is a fire. And it lights a fire. And what might have seemed like a little incident a minute ago has now turned into something that's a big roaring fire. All because we didn't weigh our words before them, we said them. Or because we weren't smart like that snapping turtle wasn't smart. If we'd kept our mouth shut, we wouldn't cause problems. If that snapping turtle hadn't grabbed a hold of that stick, he would have gone ahead and crossed the road. We need to see that what's coming out is a result of what we put in. What we put in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Don't let foul or abusive language come out. Let everything that you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them. That's coming out of the New Living Translation version. So I really like the way it reads. Don't use foul or abusive language. And how easy it is when someone says something to be abusive right back to them, and you knew there was no reason to. You knew there was no reason to. But let your words be an encouragement to those that hear you. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5 from the New King James. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it be not named among you as is fitting the saints. Those things are not what saints should be dressed with. Those are not things that should be on our minds. But that's what people put in. Neither foolishness, filthiness, nor cursed jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks for all things. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance of the kingdom of God. The way we talk, the things we say, the language we use, even the slang. People use slang today and never think a thing about it. We'd use slang in my house growing up. We would have known about it. We would have not done it anymore. Because a couple of things would have happened. One, might have got her mouth washed out with soap to begin with. And then mom or dad, because mom didn't wait for dad if he was at work, we'd have got the Board of Education. Made no difference what it was. And like I say, even slang. Well, the slang is what the scripture talks about there, where it talks about foolish talking or coarse jesting. Well, the definition of slang, according to Webster's dictionary, is an informal, non-standard vocabulary composed of typically of coinages, arbitrarily changed words, an extravagant, forced, or facetious, which means joking or jesting, often inappropriately, figures of speech. Like I said, we don't think of slang. Sometimes we use them because they become so common in our society today that it's no big deal. Saw an episode of MASH the other day, and it, of course, remember, it depicts the mid-50s. Radar was, O'Reilly was the corporal, was mad. And if you're ever a fan of MASH, you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, well, then maybe you need to watch an episode or two. But that being said, he was mad. And he went H-E double toothpick, because he would not say the word hell in anger. That's the way life used to be. There were words that we didn't use in public because it was considered immoral. It wasn't considered virtuous. There was no moral excellence in them. But slang has become part of our language. And if you don't believe me, listen or watch television programs, or read your Facebook, Instagram, or whatever method of digital communication you use. You don't think I know what I'm talking about? Go to your library or go on the internet. Find a book that's called Urban Dictionary or something with a similar name, and look up these words that are part of the everyday language and see where they originated from. Heck, gosh, darn it, shoot, doggone it, crap. Or the emojis that sometimes I see posted. Little piles of this. Well, why not just type the word out? We as Christians need to see that our language, our way of living, is different than other people, whether it's verbal communication or written communication. We're supposed to be different. And what comes out of you is what's inside of you. What comes out of you is what's inside of you. Now, there might be some words that you could consider slang, which is no problem. For example, the word childish is a derivative of the word child. No problem with that, because that's a normal part of life. Although my wife would scold me when I say the kids, she says they're not goats. Well, she's right, they're not goats. But see, that's how we sometimes have changed things. But we've allowed other things that are much more, that have a deeper meaning, into our bucket. And we use them just like anybody else. So my question for you as we finish the lesson this morning: what's in your bucket? What's in your bucket of life? If it's knocked over, what's going to spill out? Is things of Christ going to spill out? Or is it the filth of this world? The filth of this world was what caused the flood years ago. It said, God looked down and he saw that the thoughts and the intents of the man's heart was only evil continuously. Now, we often think and apply that to sexual items. Well, that was true. But the scripture doesn't say that the only thing that God looked down and saw was sexual immorality. It said all. A-double-L. All the thoughts and intents of the man's heart was evil continuously. What's in your heart? What's in your bucket? If you spill it out, what's coming out? Christ or filth? We would hope that what's in your bucket is Christ. If not, then you need to get that corrected. If you've never named Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's not in your bucket. No matter how good or moral person you might be, he's not in your bucket. Perhaps you have confessed him as your Lord and Savior, repented of your sins. You've been baptized. You arose and walked a new way of life for a while, but you've allowed other things to start to refill your bucket, and they haven't been the good things. Perhaps what you need to do then is get with the Lord and ask His forgiveness again. Or come forward and let us pray with you on your behalf as you pray that those sins might be forgiven you and that you might walk again according to the will of the Lord. If there's any way that we can help you, we would ask that you come as together we stand and sing.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment and prepare to meet thy God. Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by and your life is spent in folly? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment and prepare to meet thy God. Hear you not the earnest pleadings of your friends who wish thee well, and perhaps before tomorrow you'll be called to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment and prepare to meet thy God. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition and prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment and prepare to meet thy God. Please be seated. Thank Daryl for a fine lesson. That was really good. Appreciate it. Paramimes take Lord's Supper as we do each Lord's Day, as the Bible commands us. We'll sing, I Believe in Jesus, 133 in the Blue Book. I believe in the one they call Jesus. I believe He still stormed Galilee. I believe that He walked on the water. And I believe that He's the answer.
The song that Tom just led us in had so many truths in it. That's most of the reason we're here. That's the reason we're Christians, because that tomb was found empty. Jesus died for our sins. He suffered and died for our sins. He didn't have to do that, but he did willingly. And we profited from that greatly. And we need to be quite thankful for that. We have so much to be thankful for Jesus doing what he did for us. I don't know about you guys, but would you do that for one of your good friends? Well, maybe. But would you do it for a stranger? Someone you didn't know? Maybe someone you don't even like? But Jesus did it for us. We do this upon each week. First day of the week, we take this memorial feast and we remember what Jesus did for us. We have the bread represents his body, food of the vine represents his precious blood. Let's give thanks for the bread. Dear Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. All the wonderful things that you've done for us. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless this bread that represents your Son's body. Help us keep his suffering and his what he did for us deep in our hearts every day of the week, every minute of the day. Dear Lord, again we thank you for your Son. Forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we come before you thanking you again for your Son. Bless this fruit of the vine that represents this precious blood that was shed on the cross for us. Help us be mindful of that sacrifice. We thank you again for your Son. Forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also, upon the first day of the week, we're commanded to give back as we've been prospered. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for all the blessings of life. We ask you now would help us to have cheerful hearts as we give back to thee. You have blessed us in so many ways, and you do so many things for us on a day-to-day basis that we take for granted. We shouldn't, but we do. We thank you so much for your Son. We thank you for your love. May we show that love to one another and to all those around about us. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Mark has announcements.
I'd like to welcome everyone this morning to our Sunday morning worship service. And in the way of announcements this morning, we especially want to thank Daryl for a fine lesson this morning and thank him for coming and giving us the lesson and giving us the bread of life. So we thank him for that. Also, we want to thank wish all the fathers happy Father's Day today. In the back, in the foyer, there's a basket back here with some little things for the men to take. And also, there's a package of for the pins. Them came from the youth class, and I encourage the men to pick them up when they go to leave today. in the, like I said, in the way of announcements, we'll remember all the ones on the prayer list. There's an extensive list in here Holly has. Remember all the ones that's on there. And also I had a note given to me to add to the prayer list. They're asking for a prayer request for Nancy Tolliver and her sister Elizabeth. It says Nancy is having health issues. We'll remember them too in our prayers also. Of course, we got here in a couple weeks. We're going to be having our area-wide sing here on a Friday night, and that'll be June the 27th. That's from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And remember that also. Encourage you all to sign up on the list that's back on the in the foyer for the food, the finger foods that we're going to have that night when we have our sing. Encourage you to sign up for that. Also, we remember their church youth group. They'll be getting together on Friday, June the 20th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And also, we remember our Bible studies, our Sunday morning Bible study at 9:45. And the ladies get together on the phone at 5 p.m. And on Wednesday night, we get together at 6:30. So I encourage you for all of them. Also, the ladies also too get on the phone on Saturday morning, and that'll be on June the 21st from 8:30 to 9:30, and that'll be a.m. in the morning on Saturday, and then we do that every other Saturday after that. So encourage you that. Of course, Holly has an extended list of different events that's going on. I'm not going to go through them all, but there's different vacation Bible schools coming up around the area. Encourage you to look at that, and maybe you might be able to go to one of them. Also, the Pennsville's having a church, it'll be a summer series, and they are doing that every Sunday evening. And I encourage you to go down there. And I know with me, it looks good, great, because I can look at the list, and some of the older preachers are on there that I haven't got to see and got to hear for a long time. So that gets you an opportunity to be able to go and see that. So besides us talking about Pennsville, today is Austin's last day at Pennsville. From my understanding, this is his last day to being the full-time preacher down here in Pennsville. So I'd like to wish him a good crime, and I know he's pursuing another career, in the same thing as, but he's just going to be in a different field. So I like to wish him good luck on that. Also, Ernie gave me a card here that says, thank you for the anniversary card. It was very nice of you. Of course, I joked with Ernie, and I told him, I said, well, thanks for giving me a card. As I told him, I said, and when I was joking about it, I said, thank you for thinking of you. So I kind of joked with him back in the back, but that's for everyone. So he'd like to thank everyone for the card and different ways of the way we did it, of wishing them an anniversary. I think that's about everything I have. Is there anything that I maybe have overlooked or? Yes. And you just made me remember, also too, we want to remember a lot of you maybe know Steve Brickhouse. He passed away this earlier in the week. That family has went through a lot of different things. So a few weeks before that, they lost their mother. And I know Steve lost his, I call it his boss, lost Tim a few months before that. So the Brickhouses have been through a lot here in the last few months. I remember that family at the time of the loss of Steve. I believe that's about everything I have, and if there is, I'll ask you to stand, and Brother Jim will do the closing prayer.
Please bow with me.
Our God and our Heavenly Father, we come thanking Thee this morning for the privilege that we've had of meeting here together and worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray, Father, that the things that we've said and done, that it would be pleasing to You and according to Your will. We pray this morning for the many that are sick on our list, that You would be with each one of them. We know Nancy this morning, that You would meet her needs at this time. We pray for those families that have lost loved ones, those that have asked the Kirkenbarger that are asking for prayers, that You might be with them as You know best. And we pray now, Father, that as the things that we have heard this morning, we realize that the things that we put into our mind through our ears are so important, that those things, if they're unpure or unholy, that they do make a difference, they influence us. Help us to realize about our mouths, our tongues, that we might have a bridle on our mouth and not be speaking things that poison those others that are around about us, that we might truly, as we've studied in Bible study, to be able to edify one another and build each other up with the good words that we can say. When we do fail, Father, that no man tames the tongue, help us to realize it, repent of it, and try to grow in the things that we do, that we might be closer to You in those things. We pray that You'd forgive us of our sins, Father. We pray now that You'd be with each one of us as we leave here. So thankful for the fathers that we have, and we pray that we might continue to follow the pattern You have for the family, that it's in Your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.